Menace Nation, it's Menace Morning Time.
Wake 'em up.
I don't do the most, but I do a lot.
Tryna hide from the camera.
I'ma make a toast, cause we still alive.
I ain't going outside today.
No big.
Couldn't find our tick. So I'm drinking on Accutane.
I feel like Pac.
I'ma pull up my style. We gon' do a drive-by in the rain.
I shoot a shot. I'm coming in.
It is Thursday, May 12th. Welcome to Menace to Sports. I am Zach Smith, your host, with my co-host Chris Drew, the newly promoted radio exec himself up in Akron, Ohio. Lot to talk about.
Yeah.
They released some preseason odds, or not preseason odds, I guess. 2022 season lines and season odds, from Heisman favorites to all kinds of stuff, right? The lines on games. And so we want to talk about that all from FanDuel. Also going to talk about the portal, you know, what Ohio State could do this summer, or what they didn't do this portal season, and what it means. So a lot to talk about, Chris. A lot of nothing, really.
Yeah. Oh, no, a lot of nothing. Zach, I actually, honestly, I didn't put this on the prep sheet, but I've been scrolling through these receivers for the next 2 to 3 years that kind of Ohio State's going to be looking at, and kind of their current receivers. You know what dawned upon me? I don't know if we'll ever see another kid like Torrence Gibson. Like, I'm looking at the athletic profiles of these kids. I don't know if we'll ever see another kid like him.
I mean, he was different. He was a different athlete, that's for sure. I mean, a kid, and he legitimately could throw the ball. That's what's crazy. Mm-hmm. I don't know that he had the mental capacity to play college quarterback, but man, when he ran, it looked like he was floating.
Yeah, I'm just like, I'm looking through these guys, and what was he? He was like 6'4" that rumored to run in the 4.4s.
He definitely ran 4.4s. I mean, he was a track kid. He ran the 200 and sub 22. I mean, he could fly, and his stride was ridiculous. When he ate ground, reminded me a lot of Terrell Pryor, how he ran, where it didn't look like he was running that fast, but he just ate ground.
Mm-hmm. And he was twitchier than Terrell Pryor.
Oh, for sure.
And so I'm looking through all this, Zach, and that's the one that hurts me the most. Of all the five-star kids that left, of all the five-star kids that, you know, this happened, that happened, that things didn't pan out, the one that's hurting me more and more every single day is I'm obsessed with these recruiting rankings. You know it. You make fun of me for it. But I've yet to see another kid with that athletic profile. And it really bugs me. And I know I've heard you talk about that kid's just a walking millionaire and all that. But, like, the more I get into it, the more I see it, and the more kind of I've learned from you about evaluating receivers – like, that kid's really it. Enough about that for now. Obviously, that's something that I'm not sure we'll ever get back. FanDuel has some early lines, Zach, and I wanted to get your thoughts on them. And I want to let you kind of go off on them before we go into kind of the Ohio State portal talk that has been on my mind lately. The one you had on here is Ohio State -16 versus Wisconsin early. Now, I know this is way too early, to be honest.
Yeah.
But I thought it was interesting. Does that feel too big to you? Because that feels
kind of big. No, I mean, here's the reality. I think Vegas knows how good Ohio State's going to be. Mm-hmm. And so you see that line, you know, Ohio State's favored by 21 points against Iowa late in October. Those are big lines against pretty, you know, year in, year out, solid football teams. But it's really a testament to what Vegas is telling you, is that Ohio State's going to be really fucking good this year. Like, really, really good. Where it doesn't really matter if Wisconsin's having an up year, if Iowa's stronger than they usually are, mm-hmm. none of that's going to matter when Ohio State rolls into town, because this Ohio State team is a national championship caliber team. And their offense is so ridiculous that you can't have a 10-point, 9-point spread against a Wisconsin or Iowa, because they might win by 30. That's mm-hmm. how explosive this offense is. And I think Vegas is really looking at it like I've talked about forever, since they made the switch to Jim Knowles, is that if this defense can just be above average, like, just give me a good defense, not even a great defense, nothing
C
crazy.
Plus. Give me a C plus
just
on defense.
Just a competent defense. This team, I don't know how you beat them. I really don't, because they're going to score every time they touch the ball. That's, if you're the opposing team, that's how you have to look at it. Like, they are going to score every time they touch the ball, so we have to score every time we touch the ball and hope we have the ball last. That's literally the game plan to beat Ohio State. And so it'll be fun to watch if you're a Buckeye fan. But Vegas is telling you that 21-point favorite against Iowa. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's
and then if you
and, look, and honestly, you I'm taking Ohio Michigan State minus 21.
Wow, that's a big number. That feels like bait almost. I mean, obviously, we'll see when we get a little bit closer to that. But also, the comparable lines that you put in there, Michigan, on the other hand, you have them at the minus 4.
Yeah, I mean, it's what the other thing Vegas is telling you is Michigan's going to be down, and Penn State is not going to be as good as, you know, you would hope them to be. Mm-hmm. Penn State's a 3-point favorite over Purdue on September 1st, and Michigan's a 4-point favorite over Iowa, the same team that Ohio State is a 21-point favorite over. And so that tells you right there, Vegas thinks Ohio State is a 16-point better team than Michigan's going to be this year. That's what Vegas is telling you, right? I think we all know Michigan's going to be down, except for Michigan fans who just think that Jim Harbaugh found this secret sauce, mm-hmm. and it wasn't the fact that they had a bunch of fucking old dudes playing on defense. They're going to slide back a little bit, back down to reality. And I think Ohio State is only going to be a year older and that much better.
And Zach, it's funny because not even Jim Harbaugh thinks that he has the secret sauce. He knows that was a 1-year blip, because what did he try to do right afterwards, Zach?
He tried to jet. He tried to get out of town.
That boy tried to hit the fucking road. That boy called an Uber so quick, publicly on signing day, going to meet with an NFL team. Like, that boy knows.
Crazy. I mean, he knew what was coming. It's a lot like, you know, it's a lot like Pete Carroll leaving town and going to the Seahawks for very different reasons. But Pete Carroll's like, I'm going to go to the NFL because this shit's about to get wild with the NCAA. Similar to Jim Harbaugh. He was like, man, I just hit the
pinnacle, you know, at Stanford.
The perfect storm, mm-hmm. right? Andrew I had Luck. All these veteran players, a bunch of NFL players. They beat Ohio State, made the playoffs, like won the Big Ten, all the things that he couldn't do, you know, for his entire tenure at Michigan. And then he did it, and he was like, I'm never going to top this. This is the absolute ceiling for this program. I got to get out of here. And he didn't. So he's going to have that back to reality moment this fall, and it's going to be, well, for Ohio State fans, it's going to be fun to watch.
Yeah, absolutely. It's interesting, Zach, because I think my thing with college coaches in particular is I believe that college coaches go straight from college to the NFL if they believe they have capped out where they are. We saw it at Stanford and Harbaugh. He had Andrew Luck. They had a good team. He saw that team being capped. Even like he knew as soon as Andrew Luck's out of here, this team's going to come back to earth, and they're not going to be a team knocking on the door. And I don't have time. Like, they will not be there. Like, we're not a national championship caliber team, so I'm going to go to the NFL. That NFL team was capped out. I mean, he capped San Fran out. He knew they were not – he was not the one to get them to the Super Bowl, so he came back to Michigan. And now the playoff berth, the sole playoff berth, that was his goal. Playoff berth, beat Ohio State. He knows that they are capped out. And here's the thing. If they have another good year in 2 or 3 years, if they finish in the top 8, guess what Harbaugh's going to do? He's gone. Like, if they finish he's in the gonna top try 15, to leave. He's going to try to leave. I mean,
he tried to leave this year. So, yeah, he definitely will. And, you know, that's just – honestly, it's smart, right?
It's smart. It's like buying stocks. When a stock reaches its max potential,
yeah, like, I hope you got out of Bitcoin a couple months ago, because that shit came crashing.
Straight up. It's business, and it applies in bunches of forms of life. One of the other games that you had typed up on here that I actually want to ask your opinion about, kind of more analysis, and obviously we'll break these games down as we get closer. Right now, we're kind of just looking at what Vegas thinks and what Vegas knows, and kind of as we move forward. So, Alabama, 14.5 points, Texas. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think, again, Vegas is telling you Alabama is – I mean, they're telling you it's the national championship game is going to be Alabama-Ohio State. And you know, every year you have these previews and these you know, shows that talk about, you know, who's going to be in the national championship, and rarely does it work out that way. But this is one year where you look at it and you say, man, these two teams are just so fucking loaded. Mm-hmm. I don't see how it doesn't work out that way. And so, yeah, 14.5 point favorites against Texas. Not that surprising, right? Texas is going to have Quinn Ewers as their starting quarterback, probably. First-time starter against Nick Saban's defense. I mean, it's just – that's not even an indictment on Texas, right? It's September 10th, so it's early in the year, week 2, I believe. It's really more just like, hey, Texas, even if they're outstanding this year, that's just a little too tough a test too early for a rookie quarterback and a program that's really in rebuild mode, right? And so it didn't surprise me at all. I could see them winning by 21 points.
Yeah, well, I fully expect Texas to get beat pretty bad. I would like it to be a close game, and I would like – I mean, really, the best players in this Texas team are all going to be transfers from either Alabama or Ohio State, which is funny in its own sense. But I am curious. It kind of feels like, to me, the preseason-wise, remember when USC played Alabama, and it was like all this hype about the game because it's obviously two enormous brands. And then you got there, and it's like, no, Alabama's been hurt at the top. Yeah. And nobody that knew football was surprised because Bama had been recruiting at such a high level for so long, and Saban is Saban. And so we knew, but you got to get kind of the media love for it. And it's interesting. I kind of want to segue a little bit. Alabama filled a lot of their holes to the transfer portal. Ohio State, almost none of their holes to the transfer portal. And these are two teams that are like odds on favorite to win the title this year. And they're built very, very differently.
The portal is all about need, right? You saw what Ohio State did. Jim Knowles comes in and they plug a bunch of defensive needs with Tanner McAllister and, you know, the kid from Arizona State that transferred. I mean, they took transfers in on the defensive side of the ball. On offense, who do you want to transfer in? You're looking for a lineman? Their line is loaded. They just needed a coach that's going to coach them hard and develop them, which they now have. A tight end was the one position I could see them wanting. Mm-hmm. Obviously, with Kay Sterling flipping.
They tried to get one, but
the tight end position is just so unique because how many transfer portal tight ends were in the portal that were better than Joe Royer or anyone else they have on roster? Probably none.
Yeah. So the kid from Oklahoma, I think, was, but he's a receiving.
He was going with Spencer Rattler, regardless. Yeah.
If he's a receiving tight end, what are you gonna sell him on if you're Ohio State? Like, you're not gonna get any high caliber transfers at tight end, like, ever.
No, you're not. You're not. And so, yeah, why would the kid come to Ohio State if he's a big-time tight end? So that was the one position I could see them filling. But they don't need receivers. They don't need running backs. Shit, they have three running backs that look fucking nuts, outstanding. And they're not going to take a quarterback. Like, what position could you possibly want them to take outside of the ones that they did, right? They took a safety. They took a guy that's going to switch over to linebacker. They did exactly what they needed to do, and that's what the portal's for, right? To plug holes if you need them. Or you never turn down a great player like a Jamison Williams. You just always will take him out of the portal regardless of what your room looks like. But that stuff kind of works itself out, right? If you're loaded receiver room and all of a sudden a Jamison Williams equivalent jumps in the portal, you can talk to him, but he's going to look at your room and be like, the fuck? I'm not going there. Like, even if I'm the best player in the room, like, we're sharing way too many touches. And that's why that your situation will solve the recruiting aspect of it for you.
Right. No, that makes sense. I mean, I doubt that any of the top end receivers that transfer from their schools even gave Ohio State more than a half second thought. And if they did give a half second thought, it's because of Brian Hartline. But obviously, like, the Burton kid from Georgia, he's not going to call Ohio State and be like, hey, do you have a spot for me? I mean, Jordan Addison was never officially in the portal until he already committed to USC or whatever. So, I'm sure we didn't speak to him. Not to mention, Zach, did you know that Jaxon Smith-Njigba actually had a better season, more yards than Jordan Addison?
Yeah, I mean, he's a better player.
More yards with those other two receivers on the team.
It's just nuts. It's nuts.
It's absolutely insane.
I think the other thing that some of these Vegas lines kind of it wasn't alarming. It was it was what I expected. But to look at Oklahoma and where Lincoln Riley had them, and I know the attrition. I know it's first-time head coach and Brent Venables, but they're only a 4.5-point favorite over Nebraska, who's really been dog shit Scott Frost's entire tenure. So Vegas is either telling you, like, Venables is about to, you know, bring this program back down to earth, or maybe Scott Frost is building something. Maybe Nebraska's going to be a little bit better than people think. So that was an interesting one. And the other one is Georgia and Oregon. I mean, one, Dan Lanning playing against his old, you know, the team he just won a national championship on, and Georgia's a 16.5-point favorite over Oregon. So if you believe in Vegas, Georgia's down this year. Oklahoma is not what they used to, you know, we are used to them being. And Ohio State and Alabama are just in a league of their own right now. That's really what Vegas has told you.
That's 16.5, Zach. I know it's way too early to even think about that kind of thing. Would you touch that? I mean, I think Oregon keeps it closer than that. I don't think Georgia's explosive enough, and they're not going to have the
defense. I absolutely am taking Oregon plus 16.5 because this is national championship hangover, right? And I don't know what Vegas is thinking because their defense is gone, all but like one kid. Their defense is gone. They still don't have a quarterback worth of shit. All their receivers are gone. Mm-hmm. Like, they have Brock Bowers, best tight end in the country, no doubt about it. But I mean, they've lost. They lost a shitload. And I don't know anything. I haven't looked into what Oregon has coming back. They might have lost everything also. I have no idea. But moral of the story is, just because it says the name Georgia, it's got that little red and black G, doesn't mean it's got Jordan Davis and the boys and N'Kobe Dean. Those kids aren't running out of that tunnel. No, so I would, if I had to put money on it, I would take Oregon plus 16 and a half for sure.
I might slap some money on that. Obviously, I'm going to see what Menace to Picks has to say about that. But 16 and a half, what is the over-under going to be on that game, Zach? Because Stetson Bennett can't throw the football.
Yeah, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. But I think if you're talking about Menace to Picks, the handicapping service, if you want free money, put money on CJ Stroud to win the Heisman right now. I'm just telling you.
I have the odds up right here.
It is the most sure thing that I think is out there. And this is not a homer's take it's for a number of reasons. One, it'll be the whole narrative, right? Beat Notre Dame, get revenge on Michigan, win the Big Ten, maybe even go undefeated. Obviously, if they win those three games, the likelihood they go undefeated is really high. CJ's going to put up numbers at least similar to what he put up last year. And the committee doesn't want another two-time Heisman winner. Simple as that. Bryce Young is not going to win it again. Mm-hmm. The only way he wins it again is if he puts up some ungodly stats where you just can't ignore it.
Give it to him, yeah.
Because that's what'll happen. So CJ Stroud at plus 350 is a fucking slam dunk. Telling you, I'm going to put a grand on it and just sit on it and go win my 35 hundo coming the end of the season, because it's going to happen.
I mean, he's got the Heisman sandwich, right? Because, I mean, like you said, you open up with Notre Dame the same way Alabama opened up with Miami last year. They get the fluff in the middle for you to pad your stats, and then you get the rivalry game heroic slate. I mean, that's the Heisman sandwich. That's the recipe. And honestly, the only thing against CJ Stroud is the fact that first of all, they will give it to Bryce Young. CJ Stroud's only ding is going to be how loaded that offense is. Because say Trayvon Henderson goes for 1,700 yards this year, and say Jack Smith and Jigba goes for, you know, 1,800 yards this year, do you think that the voters will take a chance to maybe, if USC's undefeated, to give to Caleb Williams?
I mean, I think they could, right? Mm-hmm. The reality is that, you know, that's a West Coast team, not as relevant in the Midwest, Northeast, the East Coast in general. But that's a great storyline, right? USC's back. Lincoln Riley, Caleb Williams is like a Heisman candidate, at least.
He plays a Heisman style. It's very hero.
Yeah, ball. For sure. I mean, Lincoln Riley knows a thing or two about winning Heismans. I don't know if, you know, people paid attention to what the fuck he did at Oklahoma, but he's pretty good at getting those kids the stats and notoriety they need to win the award, right? But there's a huge drop off. You go from Bryce Young at plus 200, CJ Stroud at plus 350, and then Caleb Williams at plus 1000. So he's not even close to the other two when you look at what Vegas thinks. I think some of the craziest shit on the list, though, DJ Uiagalelei has the fifth best odds to win the Heisman. Like, why the fuck would anyone think he's going to win the Heisman after the year he had last year?
Plus 2,500, correct.
It's like recruiting rankings are the only thing that matter. And also rounding out, I think he's like 13th. Quinn Ewers is on there at plus 4,000 ahead of Trayvon Henderson at plus 5,000. That's just a head scratcher to me. And I know it's a quarterback award. But this kid has literally never played a snap of college football where he had to throw a pass, right? He handed the ball off three times at Ohio State and got his Buckeye leaf sticker. That's all he's ever done. And you're going to put him ahead of a kid who was phenomenal as a true freshman, who you know is going to have a big jump in production and in ability in his sophomore season. Sometimes Vegas does dumb shit, I guess is my point. Well, if you want to put money on Quinn Ewers or DJ Uiagalelei to win the Heisman, just send me the check. Mm-hmm. Send me your money, and then we'll pretend like, matter of fact, I'll take the bets. If you want to bet on either of those two to win the Heisman, I don't care. No limit. Mm-hmm. You can bet on it right now with me.
No one's going to take you. Our listeners are intelligent, Zach. So, I mean, we can.
Nah,
we
there's got to be a couple stupid motherfuckers that listen. Got to be.
Got to be a couple dumb ones. Well, Zach, I think it's also Vegas finessing a little bit. I mean, why wouldn't you, if you're Vegas, you know Quinn Ewers is not going to win the Heisman. Why wouldn't you make his odds, like, not total long shot, but take advantage of that fan base? Be like, look, he, we think he could be better than Trayvon Henderson. So here, take this bet. It could have some value to it. That way, it's not so far down where it's like, oh, Vegas knows that he's gonna break his leg week two, and it's not like up there where they're not getting the value out of it at all. I think plus 4,000 is a perfect place for Vegas, even though everybody with 17 brain cells can tell you that Trevion Henderson has a better shot at winning the Heisman.
Yeah, and I don't think either have a shot to win the Heisman, to be honest with you.
Yeah, well, a better shot. I mean, he could go for 2,000.
Yeah, but honestly, I think after you get outside of Caleb Williams, you're donating money. That's okay. It's a bad example, but it's similar to taking the horse with the longest odds in the Derby. Now that just hit, so maybe you get lucky and some fucking whatever that horse's name is gets roided Rich out Frank, of their mind and has a. Throws for 17,000 yards in a season. I don't know. Yeah. But I really think there's three candidates right now that are in the running. And, you know, honestly, out of the three, Caleb Williams might go out and play. And you're like, man, this is very Spencer Rattler-ish. Like, he's not a dominant elite player because you don't know. Now, I think the one player that will be in New York City but won't win it because of the fucking way that the Heisman is Will Anderson Jr.,
Wasn't on that top list at all.
And the other side of that is anytime you have two players from the same team that are in the Heisman candidacy, they take votes away from each other, right? Mm-hmm. The Southeast region is going to vote for one of the Alabama players to win it, right? And so that sometimes could hurt Bryce Young. It certainly could. And so I think CJ Stroud, that's why I think CJ Stroud is going to win it. I'm telling you right now, lock it in, go to your sports book and book it right now. CJ Stroud to win the Heisman.
Yeah, I would definitely put some significant money on that. And then as a backup, I would put money on Trevion Henderson because the only way to me, like in my own world, the only way CJ does not win it is if he gets hurt. And if he gets hurt, the guy that has the biggest jump to then win it would obviously be Trevion Henderson because he is super special. And because, Zach, this offensive line's going to be really fucking good. Like Justin Fry is, like you said, the best offensive line coach in the country. Like, he's going to immediately get a jump. So that's where I think the value is in Trevion Henderson if you do want to, you know, bet both of those guys and kind of cover your bases. So.
That's not a homer bet at all, is it, Chris?
No, I hate Ohio State. I am a huge Michigan fan. I can't even say it. Fucking hell. All right, Zach, there was a Spaces the other day. I'm like, you know, the Ohio State Twitter side of things, it's so cool, man. It's like you get this way. Everyone's the next Von Bell or, you know, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning. I do think that the new kid we got, I think he is literally King Arthur. He's going to be, history book style stuff, the Dylan Raiola kid. But the topic of late is this championship or bust year for Ryan Day? We're going on, 8 years, no titles. Ryan Day now has an extremely loaded roster. You look across, you're not sure how many dominant teams there are outside of Alabama. Does he need to get a ring now?
Well, this is the media cycle for you, right? This is the conversation that I brought up two, three weeks ago.
Right.
And now it's hitting mainstream Buckeye media. Yes, I said it 3 weeks ago. He has to win it this year. I'm not saying he can't the following year, but there's so much unknown, right? How many national championships are won with a first-time quarterback? I don't have that answer, but it's very, very, very rare. So CJ Stroud, this is the time to win it, right? He's got a Heisman candidate quarterback, maybe even winner. He is in his second year. He was phenomenal last year. He's only going to be better. The receiving core is going to be outstanding. One of the best running backs in the country. The offensive line will be improved with a better defense of a team for a team that barely missed the playoffs the past year. This is the year he has to win it, because if not, you're in a whole nother cycle. It's a cycle that happened to Urban after 2014, right? Where 15 got to win it before all those kids leave. You don't win it, right? We didn't win it in 15. Then 16, we have a whole different team. Everyone was gone, not going to win it that year, right? Made it to the playoffs, got smoked by Clemson 31-0. Then 17, and just, it was, you could never put the whole thing together. It's really, really hard to do. And for everything to align like it is aligning in this fall for Ohio State is extremely rare. And it's all lining up. It's all coming to fruition. And so, yes, Ryan has to win it all this year. This has to be the year. So, again, you want free money, go throw $1,000, I don't know the odds, on Ohio State to win the national championship. And I've never said that before on the show. Mm-mm. People that want to call me a homer, I've never said that I thought Ohio State was going to win it all. Shit, last year I told you that I felt like that was the year Michigan was going to get Ohio State because of what? The situation. First time starting quarterback, right? You're going to have a bunch of young kids on defense. It played out exactly how I thought. I didn't know Ohio State was going to be so fucking soft on the offensive line. I didn't know that they were going to be so soft on defense, but that didn't even play into my opinion. But this is the year. Moral story is, this is the year that I think Ohio State wins it all. This one right here.
And it almost has to be. And I'll go kind of not for Ryan Day. I'll go for the legacy of CJ Stroud. Not just Ohio State legacy, but in terms of all-time legacy. Now, I think Justin Fields is one of the 8 greatest quarterbacks to ever play college football, but he doesn't have the accolades to ever, you know, for you to say that and not get absolutely laughed at. I think CJ Stroud is one of the best passers ever in college football history. And to cement himself among the very elites, like when we talk about guys who had crazy seasons, like Cam Newton, like this, like that, he needs to get a title. And for me, I always thought that the Justin Fields Trevor Lawrence rivalry would be one that was kind of talked about for a long time, like Larry and Bird kind of the NFL. It hasn't looked like Bird? That. I mean, excuse me, Larry and Magic of the NFL. It hasn't looked like that so far, and I think
Larry and Michael. You mean?
No, well, Larry and Magic.
Larry and Magic.
Yeah, it's Bird Magic to me is kind of the rivalry. I don't go.
It was Bird Jordan. What the fuck are you talking about? Okay. You're too young. Anyways, that's, like Larry Bird and Michael Jordan. Got it.
Okay. No, that's not all right. Whatever. I don't care. But CJ Stroud and Bryce Young, this will be the first time, at least that I can remember, that one of them is going to deny the other of a championship, because they're both going to the NFL next year. And this is before Trevor Lawrence already got a title. So it's not like Justin Fields denied him of a title. Like, he already had it. And when they played later, it was cool to see, but there was no denial. This will be the time where one of the two is going to block the other one from winning a championship and block one of the other two in college from kind of having their face up there with the very, very best of college football quarterbacks. Because to be in that class, the one thing you have to have is a ring. And so because they're both very, very good players, they both deserve to be considered in the top 15 of college quarterbacks ever. Only one of them will be, because there's going to be one champion. So that's where I'm at with that.
Right. And Bryce Young didn't win it last year, right? Neither team won it last year. So this is going to be the legacy cemented will be, if that happens, if they play. And honestly, I think the winner goes number one overall is the reality of it.
I think so too.
And I've already told you who I think that is going to be, but that's a whole different conversation. You talk about that Alabama team that is coming back versus this Ohio State team that's coming back. So much needs to be seen and done before you can say who would win that game, because those are two very, very well matched up teams, right? Especially if Alabama can get their receivers, all these portal champions, if they can get them, you know, to become the Jameson Williams, the John Metchie, like get them to be, you know, prolific guys, threats, yeah, weapons. Guys. If they can make that happen, then it's going to be, you can't even predict it. You can't even say who you think is going to win, because there's so much work that goes in training camp and throughout the course of the season and development and improvement that you won't know who would win that game until towards the end of the year.
It's just interesting because these guys, this will be one of them's going to deny the other. Like, neither of them won the title. This is their first year starting. They'll be forever linked as the number, you know, 2 and 3 quarterback in their classes or whatever. Maybe it was one. But obviously the one that people thought would be linked, they thought it would be DJ and Bryce. You know, DJ, big physical profile, everything you, like, you know, built in a lab, quote unquote. He's fallen off, and it's been, you know, Bryce Young, the smaller guy, and then CJ, the more slight guy. And it's two teams that are built a little bit different, but are both very, very dominant. And then you've got Nick Saban. And then at some point, Ryan Day has to not just – Nick Saban will not pass the torch. You have to fucking take it from him. And this may be the only year that he has the chance to, because it's very, very hard, like you said, to win with a first-time starting quarterback. And the fact of the matter is, you're not getting CJ another year. Like, this is it. And you can't go 4 years – and you can't go a 5-year window. Haskins, Fields, Stroud, 3 of the very best to ever play at Ohio State and have 0 rings to show for it. This is win or die.
The best 3. It's not three of the best. It's the best three quarterback.
I'm a Troy Smith guy. Yeah, I got you.
The best. Yeah, Troy was a great player. He never won a championship either. If we're talking about
you're
it,
right.
But those three are better players than Troy was. I don't care that he won a Heisman. I mean, and Troy was excellent. I'm not even knocking him. But those three, when it came to the football and playing quarterback, were just. I mean. They did things that others I've never seen. Dwayne, the way Dwayne threw the ball, Justin, and the way Justin could run, and CJ, obviously everyone knows my hesitations on him or what needs to be developed. But yeah,
that's 5 years, zero Heismans, zero championships.
That has to change at some point, right? Now. It has to change at some point, and this is the year. The other part of this, though, Chris, is even if Ohio State wins it all, even if Ohio State, they're not taking shit from Bama. That's just sneaking a hook in and hitting Bama once.
Fair.
You got to do this shit year in, year out to ever take anything from Bama. Any torch, any title, any like place in the hierarchy. Just because, like right now, Georgia didn't take shit from Bama. Right. They beat them once and won a national championship once. That's it. They got
to
do that
shit. 2 and 3 years. You need 2 and 3 years, I think, to take this from Nick Saban at this point.
Yeah, and then you got to parlay it into what Alabama's been able to do ever since, which is number one class in the country, not even close, almost every year, right? And just churning guys to the NFL, making the playoffs every year, in the national championship almost every year, and every now and then you might lose one, right? But it can't be miss the playoffs, win a national championship, miss the playoffs, you know, get knocked out in the semis. You do that over a 4 or 5 year stretch, you have not taken shit from Bama. Nick Saban still is king. So until you know, that's going to take a run. It's going to take 5 years to figure out if someone's actually taken over the top spot from Alabama.
And it's going to take adaption, because there was one point in time where I thought Clemson could have taken it, but they didn't want to adapt with the times. And obviously the Dabo bulletproof flag has a lot of bullet holes in it now. And they're done. Zach, I do want to segue again about like transfers, evaluating transfers. When you were at Ohio State, did other coaches ever call you when a kid wanted to transfer? I guess you were like pre-transfer portal era, but do coaches ever call other coaches, or is it more about calling their high school coach to kind of get information on them and get them?
No, I mean, it depends if you know somebody. I mean, I think I've told the story on the show before. There was a handful of times where a kid was transferring and a guy I knew was at a school and he would call me. It happened with Eric Glover Williams, with Torrance Gibson. Obviously, Luke and I talked through that process. Trayvon Grimes, when he went down to Florida, Billy Gonzalez, who's the receiver coach at Florida at the time, coached me at Bowling Green. He was my position coach and played for my grandfather. I worked underneath him at Florida. Like I know him extremely well. And so of course he was going to call me about Trayvon Grimes and ask what happened, what's the kid like, whatever. And I told him exactly what Trayvon was. And you know what? Truth be told, his career played out exactly like I explained, right? Coaches do that if you know somebody, right? Mm-hmm. If you know somebody on staff, and if it's nowadays with transfer portal, like who from Pitt is going to give Jordan Addison a rave review?
A long ring. That's fucking what I was asking about. Because
no, they're not going to talk shit about him, so they're probably just not going to return your call or be like, yeah, I don't want to get involved. Because they're not going to talk shit about the kid. The kid did great things for him, and he's still probably a good kid. I don't know him, but they're also not going to sit there and be like, man, unbelievable work ethic. Like you really want, like, no.
Like I want my son to be him. Like that kind of, like, yeah, none of that.
Not happening.
Okay. That, well, heard. Zach, the kicker or the punter or whatever the fuck is suing Urban Meyer. Can our guy Urban
He's suing get the Jaguars.
Break? Yeah, the Jaguars, because of negligence about Urban Meyer.
What? He's a pussy. He's a huge fucking pussy. I mean, he's a bitch. Bitch made bitch is what he is. I don't give a fuck what Urban did. You are a grown ass man. What? Oh my God, it was a toxic environment when I went to work. Shut the fuck up. My God, because he lightly kicked you in a teasing way. Shut up. Even if that was wrong, even if that's stupid, right? Even if that was, you know, something that he shouldn't have done. Your work environment was fine. You're in the NFL making fucking a shit ton of money to kick a ball. Shut up. Mm-hmm. Such a whiny little bitch. I promise you, that dude can't fight, can't fuck, can't do anything other than kick a ball. Because it's one of the biggest bitch moves I've ever heard. He's going to sue because it was a toxic environment. He's just trying to make some money. He's just trying to make a dollar.
That's all I got, man. I can't engage on it anymore. You know, I got a big time job I got to hold on to these days.
Well, that's good. Appreciate everybody hanging out on this fine Thursday. Check out zone6.com. I'm going to keep telling you about it. Zone6.com. If you love, I don't know, receiver play, football, athlete development, you name it, it's out there. Check it out. 7 days free. Appreciate everybody. Menace out.